I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sean Lavin is the deputy supervisor, running for supervisor, back in studio. Sean, welcome back to 500 Corporate Parkway.
Joe, thank you for having me.
How are you feeling as we get to these final 2 days?
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, we got a couple of days left. I had the hour count around lunch yesterday, but no, I'm excited to get this campaign and hopefully start a new administration in January.
What are you hearing from the voters? Because we had Dan in here, and you know, he was saying that he's hearing people are upset with the lack of transparency they feel from the current administration. What do you say to that, and what do you hear in the doors that you're knocking?
The doors I'm hearing is how happy people are to be in Amherst. They have friends or neighbors, members of their family who are looking to move in, looking to try to get closer into Amherst. And I think the residents I speak with like the way this town's going, and I think they want to see it that way.
You know, this has always come back to the Westwood Country Club. Obviously, that's been a big part of your opponent's campaign. And I will tell you this, Sean, when we bring it up the next hour, the next segment, phone lines light up, right? And it's not just the same. You know, there's people that I don't know if they even regularly listen to the station, and they're calling in and talking about it. And I think it's more, my question for you is, do you think there are a good number of people in Amherst who feel that they're not heard by the current administration?
I wouldn't say a lot, but I would say there's people who feel maybe they're not heard. But at the same time, when we're doing development, when we're doing projects, anybody in the surrounding neighborhood always gets a letter about what's happening in their town and how it's going to impact them, and they're invited to speak there at public expression or during public hearings at those meetings. We listen to all that. We have emails. We have any ways for people to correspond with us. I get regular information from residents, some people who are happy with something or some people who are not, and it goes both ways. So I would say to you that the residents are not upset about that, but at the same time, we can always be more open and always find different ways to communicate, and I think we have to do that.
On that same idea, because you know, I've heard from people in Amherst that it's the Westwood Country Club thing, but more so the taxes and how that was announced after an election day. Again, not the supervisor election, but still an election day where people felt like, you know, that's after we could have our voice be heard about it. Do you think that could have been handled better if you were supervisor?
What I would say to you is that the economy in any way, shape, or form, you could talk to any economist right now and probably get 35 different answers. That's just there's so many different facets to consider when you're making a budget. And that goes for taxes, that goes for the interest rates that are impacting the town of Amherst, bond rating, all that stuff that are moving parts. So you have to wait to get all the information you can to make the right decision. We added an additional meeting into our Amherst budgetary process. I authored a transparency law. So now residents have an additional time to talk and communicate to the town board about the budget. It's done in the morning versus the evenings because not everybody can make an evening meeting. And we have emails, mail, and then we have also a portal for people to tell us how they feel about the budget. Everything's posted online. So the transparency bill that I created, it's actually a law back in 2022-23, it outlines that whole thing. It gives people another opportunity to say something about their budget.
Going to another thing we talked about with your opponent, business owners in Amherst. Mm-hmm. You know, when I think business owners in Amherst, and maybe it's because I grew up right down the street, but I think of Williamsville, right? And Main Street Williamsville and all the shops in Williamsville. But obviously, I mean, Amherst is huge. It's the biggest suburb. Do you think, if you're elected, there is a better way to handle business, handle with business owners? Like, do you think that Amherst currently is business friendly or could be more business friendly?
Well, I think it was Buffalo Business First who talked about in the last 10 years, I want to say 40% of the jobs created were out of Amherst in the Western New York area. That's a huge statistic. That's a big deal. And there's a reason that places like Costco are coming to Amherst. There's a reason that you're seeing so many Shake Shacks in Amherst. Businesses are moving here. Station 12 is filling up in the next year. The reason for that is because we've made a kind of fertile soil for businesses to start here and grow here. And I think that wants to be maintained. That's the plan for the future of Amherst. We balloon up to 200,000 people during the week. Our population is 130. That's people coming from outside of Amherst into work here. So can we be better? The answer is yes. We can always be better. There's always ways to improve. But at the same time, Amherst is on the right course.
Shake Shack is also coming to Clarence, and I've got to stick true to Awaken 180 when that happens.
Another Trader Joe's.
And another Trader. Oh, believe me, Sean, we can talk about that when it's not Hardline, because I have a lot of thoughts about that plaza on my side of transit. Going to, you mentioned Station 12, and I've been the biggest critic of all of Station 12. So, you know, when something pops up, I am happy to say, I'm happy to be wrong. I say this about Buffalo all the time. I'm happy to be wrong.
Sure.
Before we get to Station 12, though, there was a question I wanted to bring up. Ingram Micro left Amherst to go downtown.
Yeah.
Could that have been saved?
I mean, I'm not on the private sector. Like, that's not really not something I could speak to. I know they were offered probably. I don't really know the intricacies of that deal.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to comment on that.
Should they have been? I mean, should attempts have been made, regardless if they had or not? If you were supervisor, would you have attempted to keep Ingram Micro in Amherst?
Attempted, absolutely.
Okay.
No doubt about it. I mean, if there's a way to keep businesses in Amherst, I'm going to fight tooth and nail to do that.
Station 12, you mentioned it. A month or two before the election, we hear all these stores that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
When can we expect to see that progress on Sheridan?
They had told me, the town of Amherst, they were trying to get open before the beginning of next shopping season. So I would argue probably a year.
And I do have to say that I saw trucks moving on that land, and I'm ready for the old tire shop to finally be down, because I'm telling you, that's an eyesore. You can say what you want about the dirt. That's an eyesore.
Joe, are you going to be there when we finally open stores there? I want only you there.
Hey, I am. People can say what they want about me, and believe me, they do. I see the text board.
Sure.
I am all for admitting when I'm wrong.
Sure.
Getting right there. And hey, I'm a critic of everything.
Sure.
I am Western New York first. And I will always applaud, you know, I've said it. I mean, if Sean Ryan is elected and brings business to Buffalo, I'll be the first one to point it out.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll be the first one to point out if he doesn't as well. Okay, so Station 12, we'll see that in a year. Let's go on down to the Boulevard Mall, because when we're talking to voters, I mean, Amherst is, as we said, the biggest suburb. We get a lot of calls on this election, on the progress of Amherst.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had both you and Dan on my weekday show, and believe me, after either you are on, I have a full bank of calls of people in Amherst wanting to say either, yeah, I applaud this, or I have a problem with this. And up the Boulevard Mall, I mean, it's a big issue. It's funny. I found a poker chip set in my parents' basement when we were over there this weekend, and it had a KB Toys receipt from 2004 at the Boulevard Mall. Back in 2004, the Boulevard Mall, I mean, unless you love big crowds, you went to the Boulevard Mall because you didn't want to go to the Galleria, and you get whatever you want. It's sitting empty now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of question marks from people. What is your understanding of that? And if you are elected Tuesday, how do you, as supervisor, work with that to make sure that the best for Amherst is happening in that building?
Well, we've been working on it. That's what's important. You have to take into consideration. I was elected in 2017. We kind of knew the mall might fall into receivership at that time. Did everything we could to get us into a position for that mall to be redeveloped. So what does that take? That takes infrastructure. People want to say, well, just bulldoze it and put what you're going to put there. You can't do that without proper sewer lines. And we got a $31 million grant to add to the West Side Interceptor, which is going to help that entire mall area. What I say to you is, on the Boulevard Mall front, we're partners in this. The company that owns the Boulevard Mall, Benderson, is going to be looking for help from the town, because there are certain lease agreements right now on that mall property that extend all the way to 2070. So the question is, does the town help and assist with eminent domain in breaking those leases so they can be redeveloped and be a dense, walkable community between both North and South UB campus? I would argue yes, right? That's going to be an economic generator. We're looking to keep students in this community. We're looking for them to work in our community, raise a family in our community. So when you're adding to that kind of mixed-use dwelling, student, young professional, restaurant, walkable, that's my desire to see the Boulevard Mall.
Does that help with taxes? And if that happens, can we see taxes going down in Amherst? If there's enough successful business and people paying into the tax, could we see that 11.4 that we mentioned 2 years ago? Could we see that dip down? Your opponent has talked about cutting the tax. Would you be working on that if again, these projects are popping up.
So there's a lot to mention right there. Number one is last year and this year, there's been a tax rate decrease. An apples-to-apples comparison, Amherst is the lowest tax rate town in Western New York with the police department. We're the lowest across the entire spectrum of municipalities across Western New York. That's an apples-to-apples comparison. At the same time, when the levy increases, you want to keep your tax rate low. Now, my opponent always wants to talk about taking out 10% of taxes. His argument's been 10%. That's $17 million. And that's going to impact your police officer hiring. That's going to impact your snowplow drivers. That's going to impact your senior service care. Those are real quality of life issues our residents depend on. So when he says something like that, I don't think the real calculation's been made about how that impacts your day-to-day life as a resident. And that needs to be addressed.
Would you say, to his point, that there is waste in Amherst that could be cut out? You know, we hear so much about that at the national level. I had DiNapoli on here at the state level where he admitted, yeah, there's waste at the state level. Do you think in the Amherst level, the town level, there is some waste that could be cut?
I mean, I would use the word efficiency. You say waste, I say efficiency. There's different ways for us to move this town forward. And one of the things I've said from the beginning is being much more tech savvy about what we're doing. It's 2025. We have the components. We have the manpower, the technology. We need to start merging those together to get residents who pay taxes are looking to see what their taxes are doing for them. And the technology I'm looking to bring into Amherst is going to do that.
All right, Sean, I asked your opponent this question. 2 days left. We've got the big day Tuesday, live coverage on WBEN starting at 7 p.m. How are you feeling? How do you attack these next 2 days?
I mean, it's just going to be grinding. That's the whole thing. That's been my life kind of status. I just grind it out. You're not gonna outwork me. And at the end of the day, I'm hoping residents will see me as the better candidate for Amherst supervisor.
Now, I have to be fair. I asked my two Democrat guests this last week. I asked Nowakowski during the week the same question. The county executive, a little over a week ago, said that if you're not upset about the construction in the White House, that you're in a cult. Now, I would think you're running a campaign. You don't want, maybe there's a moderate Republican, you don't want them to think that you think they're in a cult. Do you agree with the county executive, and was a comment like that productive?
I would say to you, my focus has been Amherst from the beginning. I don't make comments on national politics because I think we need to be focused on what's in our zip codes and what's in our backyard. That's been my focus. That will remain my focus. So I don't usually make a lot of comments on the state or national level because I'm so focused on the community here.
Do you think that should be the focus of the county executive?
That's up to him. He's the county executive.
All right. Sean, I do have one more question. Sticking with the county, I asked Dan this question if he were to be elected. You're the deputy supervisor. What is the relationship with Erie County like with Amherst and the county? Because we saw my point to ask that is 2022, we saw really the inside of the county and the city have their issues. Mm-hmm. And we know that. And I think it was illustrated more in the primary. What's the relationship between the county and Amherst?
My relationship with anybody who is on an elected office, whether that's the countywide, whether that's statewide, I'm going to say is strong. If there's a way for me to advocate for the town of Amherst with both congressional leaders, state leaders, county leaders, I'm going to do that. So I would say my relationship with the county is strong, as it is with the local state senators, both Republican and Democrat. I'm really just focused on what is best for our town and how we move forward.
I do have one final question. Brian Nowak, you know, he's proposed a hotel bed tax in Cheektowaga. Kathy Hochul has made that now possible for towns to do so. Mm-hmm. Is that something Amherst would be considering?
I mean, I don't think it's worth exploring at this point, but I'm never opposed to anything. It's just you can't just make a yes or no binary statement before you really do the research. And that's kind of who I am as well. It's going to take a lot of work before you get to the level where you're adding different tax to something. Right now, it's not something that appeals to me, but I'm not saying no to what could happen.
Sean Lavin, nice to have you in studio on this Sunday. I appreciate you. Anytime I've asked, you've made time. And if during the week, on the weekends, I appreciate that. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Sure, thank you for having me.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.